And so I have joyfully come to know that the birth of the Christ doesn't just happen once a year, and it just doesn't happen once in a lifetime. But the birth of the Christ is something that happens within each one of us every time we recognize the magnificence of who we are, every time we recognize the holiness and the presence of God within us. And so when we truly know and understand Emmanuel, God with us, I love that. Emmanuel, God with us. When we truly know that no matter what's going on in our life, God is with us, then truly, truly, we will know Christmas joy. And so here we are, the fourth and final Sunday of Advent. Christmas is right around the corner. It's Saturday, less than a week away. It's our final, what?
Sunday.
Oh, I'm thinking about Christmas Eve first. Okay. Christmas Eve is. And then we get Christmas. See, Christmas doesn't seem that because it's a Sunday. You know, it's kind of odd. It's like normally we wouldn't have church on Christmas, but we do because it's Sunday. So, But it's our final Sunday, and this is a Sunday of joy. The joy as we're approaching Christmas. And so to make this Christmas story our story, we need to bring it into our lives because we need to understand that this Christmas story is really our story. It's a story of a universal yearning of the heart to know who we are and to really live a deeper spiritual life. And so let us just pause for this morning for a few moments here and put ourselves in that humble setting. You know, Jesus was born far away many, many years ago. But this story can have great spiritual significance even for us right here and right now today. Because the story truly is a story about the Christ being born in each one of us. That's what this story is all about. So many people get so confused. And that's what I love about Unity, because Unity has a wonderful way of explaining the story. You know, yes, there was a child born whose name was Jesus. And yes, this child grew to become a man and he took on the qualities of the Christ. Because, I hate to break it to you, but Christ is not a last name. That's not Jesus' last name. Some people think it is. No, there wasn't a Mr. and Mrs. Christ. It was more of a title. That's what it is. It's really a title. It's what we become. It's the quality that really describes the divinity within each human being. That's what we're describing. So in Unity, what we celebrate at Christmas is not so much the birth of a child, as wonderful as that was, but we celebrate what that child represents. What does the birth of this child represent to us? That's what we're looking at Christmas time. It's that, you know, we need to bring this story into our lives in order for this birth to have any meaning for us today. Now, I find it very interesting because we give so much talk to about this birth story. But in the four Gospels, do you know it's only mentioned in two of them? Only two Gospels mention the birth. And that's the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. The other two, they don't even mention it. And these two stories are very different. They're in the Gospels of Matthew and the Gospels of Luke. And they're different perspectives. Matthew is talking to the Jewish people. He's a Jew. He's talking to the Jewish people. He's trying to convince them Jesus really was the Messiah we've been waiting for. And he even reminded them, hey, we've got these wise men who have come from outside of Jerusalem who also acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah. In fact, they've traveled all this distance in order to honor the birth with their great treasures. So find that. Now, Luke, on the other hand, has a very different take on the story. Luke is a Gentile. He's a Greek physician. And he puts a new dimension into the story. He sets the story up in a worldwide setting, out in a field. Not in Jerusalem, out in a field somewhere. And he gives this kind of universal meaning with angels and shepherds. And it's for all people. It's not just for the Jews. But he's talking about it being for all people. And so we need to bring all of these elements of the story into our life in order for the Christmas story to have real meaning. You know, we need to begin to look at what does it mean? How is it showing up for me in my life today? And so we look at this story metaphysically, because that's what we do in Unity. That's how we interpret the stories in the Bible. But it's more important to understand that it all happens in consciousness. I mean, how many times have I said that? Almost every Sunday I say, you know, this all happens in consciousness. And so every part of this story is happening within us. It's part of your own spiritual unfoldment. Mary and Joseph, the inn, the manger, the wise men, the great star, the angel singing. It's all a part of you. It's part of your unfolding consciousness. That's how we look at it in Unity. And so let's begin to explore this wonderful Christmas story. It begins with two simple characters, Mary and Joseph. And it's a busy time of year, and they're getting ready for a long trip. They're getting ready to travel to Bethlehem because they have to listen to what Luke says, why they're going. In the days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. And so Mary and Joseph are going off to Bethlehem to take part in the census to be accounted for. But metaphysically, within each one of us, there is an enrollment going on within us that's greater than anything in the world. We are each being enrolled in Christ consciousness as we travel step by step closer to the higher consciousness within us. So the enrollment is taking place within you. Now, Mary is with child. She's pretty pregnant. She's about ready to give birth. And Mary's been chosen for this holy assignment. But each one of us has also been chosen. Mary's a virgin. Now, how can that be? You know, the Christ is born, we hear this over and over again, of a virgin. And a lot of times, people will ask you what you believe. What does Unity believe? Do they believe in the virgin birth? After this explanation, you're going to be able to say, absolutely. But you don't have to explain it. That gets you into trouble. But in Unity, we look at Mary representing a virgin consciousness. That's what it is. Mary represents the intuition or the emotion, that feeling nature within us. And so it's this consciousness that is open and receptive, that's free of self-will, that's free of negative thinking and judgment. It's into this pure, holy, virgin consciousness that the Christ can be born. Make sense? We have to have that clearing of our consciousness of negativity and resentments and fear and anger and all that stuff. That's where our forgiveness comes in. In order to have that pure, virgin, holy, open, receptive consciousness for that spiritual awakening to happen within us. And so Mary is betrothed to Joseph. Joseph represents our thinking faculty or our intellect. Now, we need the intellect and we need the intuition. It's not either or, it's both and. We need Mary and we need Joseph. There has to be a marriage of the intellect and the intuition. You can't have one without the other. You won't be in balance. And so Mary and Joseph represent within us that balance between the heart of intuition, that marriage between the heart of intuition and intellectual understanding. And so it's within that marriage, it's out of that marriage that the birth of the Christ can happen in us. And so this, our thinking ability, you know, it serves us. We don't want to just get rid of it. You know, our intellect is good. We have to, though, align it and attune it with the heart of the intuition, with that spiritual truth that comes from the intuition. Because the right state of mind is absolutely critical for this new birth that is happening, this new spiritual awareness that's happening within us. Can you begin to see how it all kind of connects? That you really have to bring it. This is a great story. You can read it, just a story. But how much richer is it that when we can take these characters, look at them metaphysically and say, okay, how is this working and playing out within me? So, let's continue. Where is the Christ child born? Not at the inn. There's no room at the inn. The inn metaphysically represents our ego. Begin, you know where this is going. I see ego as an acronym for edging God out. So, when we have the inn, isn't it, you know, within our own consciousness, don't you have times that you just want to not make room for the new birth? You know, this spiritual journey is difficult sometimes because it takes work. So sometimes we just get these spiritual ideas and thoughts and we go, I know I should meditate, but we just throw out those ideas out of the inn of our ego, don't we? And so the Christ child is born not in the inn, but in the manger. The manger represents our heart. And so we need to prepare our heart to be that pure virgin consciousness so the Christ child, that baby, can be born. And of course, the baby represents love. Baby represents that Christ consciousness, the baby represents, I'm sorry, I know this is going fast, represents the Christ consciousness, that new Christ consciousness, that new awareness, Christ awareness within us. And so when we allow the birth of this baby to happen within us, you know, when this baby, this new awareness comes about, we call it Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. And of course, in follows the wise men. The wise men are wonderful. Now, tradition has it that there are how many?
Three.
The Bible says nothing about three. The Bible says wise men came from the east. And then all of a sudden now we've crowned them. And they become kings, but nowhere in the Bible does it say any of these wise men were kings. In fact, if you have a study Bible, at the bottom your footnote will probably say there were magi or wizards or probably astrologers who traveled from the east following a star. And so the east is the direction of the rising sun. And so the east represents the source. The source of light, the realm of spiritual consciousness. That's what the East represents. They specifically, they don't come from the West. They come from the place of the rising sun. And so the wise men are our higher wisdom, our spiritual insight. If that's what the wise men within us represent. That wisdom, that those thoughts, that spiritual insight that just drops right into our feelings and our thoughts. Have you ever had those times where you had this knowing? You had this strong hunch about something. You know, you just had that gut feeling. Well, that's the wise man. That's what's happening within you. It's that receptivity and that knowing, that wondrous, magical insight and quality that happens to us when we're on the path, when we step on the path. You know, the phone might ring. You're thinking of somebody, the phone rings, and it's that person. You know, you might experience those synchronistic moments that you just, wow. You know, you visualize that parking spot, and you go to the mall, and there's that parking spot. You know, it's just those moments of insight and revelation. That's what the wise men represent in us. And so how did the wise men get to the Christ scene, to the birth scene? Followed a star, of course. And Charles Fillmore talks about the star. And he says that he believed that the star represents the possibilities of our own Christ nature. It shines for us and it's spiritual guidance. Now, there's you probably have read too and seen shows that there's many different explanations for this star. It's been suggested that it's been a supernova, maybe an exploding star. There's been suggestions that perhaps it was just a very bright conjunction of planets. But, you know, if we just look at the natural causes, then we overlook the spiritual one. And have you ever noticed that not everybody sees the star? King Herod, who wanted to kill Jesus, he did not see the star. He was not spiritually illumined. And so only those who were spiritually illumined saw it. And so the star represents our higher aspirations. You know, that part of us that kind of shows us who we are. That we only get when we have a consciousness for it. That spiritual receptivity of the wise man. That's what the star represents in us. And so, of course, angels. You can't tell the birth of the Christ without angels. And so at the time, in those days, when a prince was born, bells rang and trumpets heralded, and there was this big fanfare, but not for Jesus. Who announces the birth of Jesus? Angels. Angels. You know, because he's a different kind of a king. He's a spiritual king who came to teach us, you know, the potential and what's possible as we begin to experience this birth of the Christ within us. And so the shepherds were out in the fields tending their sheep. And it says, an angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I'm bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Christ." And at first the shepherds were frightened, but then they really kind of got into the moment. And they were absorbed in the light and the singing of joy in the air. And it goes on to say, and this is Luke chapter 2, that there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace, goodwill among people." And so the shepherds were caught up in this proclamation of peace, which is what the angels help us do. They help us to remember who we are. You know, they bring us back to that place of peace and light so that we can be spiritually illumined. They represent our divine thoughts, the divine ideas. They're messengers from God. They help us remember those spiritual moments, those ahas, those moments in meditation. Those are the angels, the messengers from God, bringing you those divine, rich spiritual ideas. And so when we can feel the Christ presence within us, then it begins to remind us of who we are. We begin to remember that we're here to be the Christ presence for everyone, for all the world. We're here to bring hope and peace and love to the world. And someone once said, "Though Christ 1,000 times in Bethlehem be born, if he is not born in thee, thy soul is still forlorn. Oh, would thy heart but be a manger for his birth, God would once more become a child upon the earth." And so every time you prepare the manger of your heart for that birth of the Christ child, God is born again. Right here as the Christ within us. And so we no longer need to look for the Christ child in the trappings of the holiday, because the Christ lives within you and me as hope, peace, love, and joy. And this presence is just waiting to be accepted into your consciousness. You know, waiting to be born in the manger of your heart. You know, and so let that occur this Christmas as never before. I hope you're ready and prepared. You know, may the star be your inner light. And may you be guided to the potential of spirit that is waiting to be born in you this Christmas day. And may you truly experience Christmas joy. And is my prayer for each one of us that we have the most incredible, fantastic, dynamic, amazing Merry Christmas ever. God bless you. Merry Christmas.